Kia ora whānau. All right, let's try this out. Miri, kerehimete, Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, family. Oh my gosh, seriously. Come on, I even tried other languages so that like it was more inclusive, and in case you didn't understand it in English, you could understand it in your main language. Let's try this again, okay? Miri, kerehimete, oh my gosh, Miri. Kiri Himiri, Mitzi, Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas, family.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, awesome. So, what I want us to do, because it is the commencement of our Christmas series, and we are excited to be here, we've got to kick this morning off with some Christmas songs. Who enjoyed Joy to the World this morning?
Yeah,
it was good. Thanks, team, that was sounding really, really great. What I want us to do is just turn to somebody we haven't yet seen this morning, say Merry Christmas, and just welcome them so that we're just getting into that family vibe. Cool? Sweet, let's do that. Awesome. So this morning we are entering the Christmas season, a season also called Advent. Advent is a time of waiting, anticipation, and expectancy. As the word Advent literally means in Latin, coming. Now I'm not talking about the approach of Christmas Day or the anticipation of unwrapping the Christmas presents under the tree. Advent is a season where we celebrate the coming of Jesus, and we join in with both the church worldwide and those who have gone before us, and enter into the season of waiting and expectancy. Advent season is a time where we as Christians willingly and intentionally hold our breath in anticipation of what God has done and promises to still do. This year, we're pausing to consider a phrase often thrown around at Christmas time, be it on cards, songs, or just as you bump into one another. It's this phrase, peace on earth. Wherever you stand with the Christmas story, whatever you may believe in or not believe in, this is a sentiment that is shared by all human beings at this time of the year and beyond. Ultimately, this desire for peace on earth, both in us and around us. But that's about it, a sentiment. I would say that the reality is anything but. Be it war, international crisis, relational conflict, inner turmoil, or day-to-day hurry, busyness, and stress, peace, be it on earth or even just personally experience, seems so often to be out of reach. So during this month, we want to explore the idea of peace on earth. Ask if it is even a possibility, and if so, how can it become our reality? How does that sound to you, Whānau? Yeah? Yeah, pretty good. All right, so what I want you to all do is just turn to somebody and say, peace on earth. Peace on earth. Okay, so basically what you just did is validated what I said in terms of hearing peace on earth around this time of the year. So now you've all heard it, okay? And not just from me. In the weeks heading into Christmas, things have gotten busy as they do. Yeah? Yep. Even while working towards a Christmas series and season focusing on peace, I found myself at everything but peace. Anybody relate with that already? Then last Sunday night, when Laws, my wife, and I were chatting at home and wrestling with our busy schedules, I heard the words leave my mouth. I feel like I've been robbed of my peace. And I knew deep down in me that that's not how it was meant to be. So I began thinking, as we were moving closer and closer to this series, does life have to be smooth and uncluttered to experience peace? Because if that's the case, I don't see that working anytime soon. What does it look like to experience peace in the ups and downs of life? And ultimately, how do we practice this? How do we engage in the idea, the reality, and the practice of peace? So this morning, I want us to take a look at a couple of verses as we begin this series, which is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. So if you've got your Bibles, feel free to open it. We also have, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, if you go to the menu tab, you can go to events, and you can find us, and like extra notes will be kind of in amongst that to follow along this morning. This particular passage is what is called a messianic prophecy, which simply means a passage written about the coming of Jesus, the sent one, Messiah, before he had come. This particular passage was written some 700 years before Jesus came to earth. 700 years. And so you already get the sense of anticipation, this sense of expectation, this hope for something more, that even 700 years plus, there was this desire for something different. This desire for peace. Because I think that when we all are honest with ourselves and really take a look at it, when things aren't at peace, when we have been robbed of peace, we know deep down that that was not how it was meant to be. And so we're going to start from verse 2 this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, where it says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Here we read that something dramatic has happened for those that this passage is about. Something has dawned on them. A great light has illuminated both their current state and the way out. I think that that's really important to notice, that the light that has shone into this situation has illuminated two things. One, their current state, where they were at. Where does it say they were at? In deep darkness. Yeah. Yeah, there's a sense of like hopelessness in that language, of a lack of peace, of what is going on? Is there anybody around me? But the light also shines in and doesn't just show them that, hey, you're in darkness. It says to them, hey, there's also a way out. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Is that a good thing, family? Yeah. All right. So I'm one of those speakers who likes a little bit of participation. And so if anything that you would like to affirm this morning, feel free to do that. Say, yeah, this is a good thing. Yeah. Or even just answer a question. You know, that would be helpful too. Awesome. For those this prophecy was given to, and those who have read it long after, there is this great expectancy, a hope in something more, something greater, something more beautiful, good, and true. And then we read in verses 6 to 7 how this was going to happen. So there's a whole lot of content from verse 2 to verse 6, which kind of gives a little more idea of what that darkness is like and how you can move from darkness into this light. But then verse 6 to 7 gives us this real insight as to how this was going to happen. And so we read this: For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It lands with a very powerful statement. This will happen. And you can be guaranteed it will happen because the one who's making it happen is the Lord Almighty. And if Scripture teaches us anything, when He moves, when He does something, things change. Lives are altered forever. And so we read this, He will accomplish this. And so this is 700 years pre-Jesus coming. And there's this, not this like airy-fairy hope, but there is this great certainty and expectation that things are going to get better around here. But where are we at this morning with that? Where do we sit with that certainty? Because whether I believe in it or not, doesn't change it from being a certain fact that the Lord God Almighty said He will accomplish it. So it's not necessarily that something needs to change in terms of what He's doing, but how I engage with this. You see, we usually seek peace either within or outside of a situation, as opposed to the person of peace. Peace isn't just a possibility. Peace isn't just something that we experience. Peace, first and foremost, is a person, and His name is Jesus. First and foremost, peace is a person, and His name is Jesus. We will never be able to know true peace when our seeking or pursuit of it is sought after in the wrong places or people. And it is the exact same with our expectations, because if they are placed in the wrong places or in the wrong people, guess what? We are forever going to be let down. Peace, family. Peace. He is a person. And His name is Jesus. And so this morning we are beginning by setting our expectations not in something, but in someone. And I'm hoping that as a result of where we're going this morning, there isn't like the sense of, oh, I need to get my expectations up, but there is this promise breaking through where we realize that we can get our hopes up as a family because of this certain fact that He is the Prince of Peace. And because He is the Prince of Peace and He reigns over all things, guess what? Peace on earth, it is a thing. This season is pregnant with expectancy, both in the promises of God with us and in what that promise means to our lives now. To experience His peace as we experience Him. To practice His peace as we learn to be with Him. I say that again. To practice His peace as we learn to be with Him. So that when things get busy, is that you this morning? Or hard? Is that you this morning? Or unbearable? Is that you this morning? We don't come undone, but rather we usher His peace into that situation. And so this is why expectancy is so important to the Advent season and to the experience of our peace in our lives. Because it is about His coming. You get that, family? It is about His coming. His bringing His light into darkness. Peace. Yes, it's a possibility. Peace, yes, it can be our reality. Peace, yes, is something that we get to engage in. But we don't just engage in peace as if it is this euphoric idea. But we engage in peace or in peace in our lives and ushering in peace through our lives by being with Jesus. Because He is the Prince of Peace. This is about relationship, family. And if the Christmas story tells us anything, is that God desires intimately relationship with his creation that he called good. We have to know that, family. We have to go there. We have to sit there. We have to accept it. That we can engage in peace because he has engaged with us, his beloved creation. Our faith is built on expectation. Not the type that leaves us hoping that something will happen, but that we have a great hope, knowing that both something has happened and will continue to happen as God makes his presence known among us. It's not a God was with us when we say Emmanuel. We didn't sing this morning, God was with us. There you go, there's a bit of my singing. That was awkward. We didn't sing God was with us. What did we sing? God is with us. It is a certainty. It is a promise. He is still with us. We experience his peace as the expectancy or the spirit of expectancy rises up in us. And we go, you know what? I can be at peace because I can be with Jesus. Thank God for that. May we become an increasingly hope-filled people with expectancy rising up in us this Advent season. And the one who is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at three different individuals in the Christmas story. How they experienced peace and what enabled them to in circumstances that you wouldn't expect to find much peace ultimately. Also, over the coming weeks, we want to intentionally set aside time in what can be a time-poor season to receive God's peace as a family. These will be times to cease our activities, to slow, to cease our activities, our active minds, to simply be with our Emmanuel, to breathe, to regather, that our souls may find peace in him and with him. That is so important. It's not that we find peace just simply in him, but that we find peace with him. God with us. We want peace. We want to engage in this idea of peace on earth. We have to be with him, family. A life with God. That's what he calls us to. That is what this Christmas story enables, that we would be with him because he so longs to be with us. So that when we engage in a hurried and stressed world, we may be bearers of good news, but we also may be participants in his peace on earth. See, his peace goes beyond my inner reality. His peace was not just promised to me or to us here this morning. It was promised to what? Peace on earth. And so we become participants. As soon as we become participants in the good news of Jesus coming to this earth, concealing his glory, dying for us, that we could again once again, we could once again know him. We engage or we become participants in his peace. By his Spirit, he longs to usher his peace into the situations that he has us walking into. Be it your workplace or where you are studying, be it with your group of friends or in a family situation, or conflict. His peace starts here, but it doesn't end here. It was always, always for all, not just me. I also want to say this as a disclaimer for the beginning of this series. This won't be easy. This won't be easy. We can't just flick a switch and be at peace with ourselves and God. Anybody have that ability? Anybody? You can say no. I don't think we do. We don't have the ability in us to flick a switch and be at peace with, be it ourselves or God. This is a journey. This is a journey. But a journey so worth taking, both for the benefit, the blessing, the health of our souls, and also for the benefit, blessing, and health of this world. Because if you look around you, people are tearing each other apart. This world is in great need of peace. And when Jesus came, he came with angels declaring something amazing. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. And peace on earth. So this morning, this season, this Advent, as a family, we are going there. But it won't be easy. Because everything in life is set up against being at peace. Be it the pace of life or the state of life. Everything is geared against us being able to breathe, to slow, to gather ourselves and be with God. But it is a journey so worth taking. So family, we are now going to take time to be still. I said we were going to be intentional, and we're going to be intentional. We're going to take time this morning to be still. Because December's only just started. Things are going to get silly around here. But that's okay. Because peace should not be determined by the smoothness or uncluttered nature of our calendar. Peace, inner peace, true peace, the reality of that comes from Jesus, being with Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, as he is with us. So we want to foster expectancy in our hearts, minds, and souls, to get our hopes up, you could say. To be with God as he is with us, and to receive his peace. We will pray a prayer together, asking God to bless this time and to minister to us by his Spirit, that he would provide his peace. He has promised to. We have just got to engage in it. And after that, we're going to be quiet. We're already doing that quite well. Good job, team. For however long we sense God wanting us to be quiet, if you feel a nudging in some way, ask God if that is something that he wants to speak and minister in or provide his peace to. See, the thing with peace is that we often think peace is this very passive thing. Peace is not passive. Peace is active. Peace has to be active for us to receive it. And I know that peace is active because the Prince of Peace is also. He is active in this world The Christmas story says so. Emmanuel, God with us. And so during this time of quiet, after we go through a led prayer, you may sense a nudging in some way. It may just be that you simply need to receive God's rest for your soul, because he wants us to rest. He created us for rest. If that is you, say amen to that and just receive it. This morning, though, a part of peace being active is that it actually deals with stuff. It doesn't just get over things. It actively deals with things. And so a part of us receiving our peace from God this morning might be the fact that he puts his finger on a point in your life that he wants to break through. Or it might even be something as gross as the word sin, where God's just like, this is getting amongst my peace, and I want to deal with it. And so this morning, you might find yourselves in a position where you're like, Lord, I need to confess this. And not just confess, I repent of this. I turn away from it because your peace is promised. This morning, I don't know what the nudging of the Spirit may do in you or with you, but be expectant, family. The Spirit of God is here. He is in you. And the Word tells us that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Anybody need some freedom this morning? Yeah. Let's pray. God of the expectant ones, give us your blessing. God of the waiting ones, give us your good word for our souls. God of the expectant ones, the waiting ones, the slow and suffering ones, give us your blessing, your good word for our souls, that we might rest. God of the expectant ones, the waiting ones, the slow and suffering ones, and of the angels in heaven, and of the child in the womb, give us your blessing, your good word for our souls, that we might rest and rise in the kindness of your company. O come, Emmanuel, our God with us.